best friends. I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin. And today we are discussing Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. A little treat.
A little treat. She has just been such a good staple for us this summer. Just such cute stories. A fantastic author. We said this last time, but her writing style just really is similar to that of like Emily Henry, and it gives the vibes of like Tessa Bailey, and it's just like your perfect rom-com wrapped into one.
On Goodreads, it's also very highly rated. It's got 700,000 ratings and 4.31 stars.
Oh my gosh, that is a lot.
That is a crazy amount of people who have read this. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and read the back of the book and then we'll get into it. Dr. Brianna Ortiz's life is seriously flatlining. Her divorce is just about finalized, her brother's running out of time to find a kidney donor, and that promotion she wants? Oh, that's probably going to the new man doctor who's already registering 80 friggin' 7 on Brianna's pain-in-my-ass scale. But just when all systems are set to hate, Dr. Jacob Maddox completely flips the game by sending Brianna a letter. And it's a really good letter, like the kind that proves that Jacob isn't actually Satan. Worse, he might be this fantastically funny and subversively likable guy who's terrible at first impressions. Because suddenly he and Bri are exchanging letters, sharing lunch dates in her sob closet, and discussing the merits of freakishly tiny horses. But when Jacob decides to give Brianna the best gift imaginable, a kidney for her brother, she wonders just how she can resist this quietly sexy new doctor. Especially when he calls in a favor she can't refuse.
You know what's so funny is that a lot of these, like, plot lines that they have going on here, like, were important, don't get me wrong, but I would argue that they're not, like, the most important part of this book. Like, they're just very minimal.
And it kind of reminds me of, in the first book, like, we noticed that there were a lot of, like, side plots that were more, like, side characters.
Yeah.
This one's a little different because the little subplots were still, like, about them. But, yeah. But it added to the story. It just, like, helped flesh them out because the timeline in this story is very quick. It's way faster than Alexis and Daniel, actually.
I think it's, like, 2 months.
2 or 3 months? Yeah, because, like, yeah. I'm pretty sure originally the wedding was, like, a few months away, right? At the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy. They're kind of crazy for that.
They are. And usually I don't love, like, the insta-love, but because of, like, the development we got from the characters, I think is what made it a little more believable. Because even they were like, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, they were self-aware, one. And two, that actually added, I think, we'll talk more about this later, but I think that added to the miscommunication in this book. But before we get too into it, what would you rate this book?
So I gave it a 9.78 out of 10. I thought it was a really, really great book. And again, that dealt with a lot of really tough problems. And that's something that I feel like Abby Jimenez is just very good at, is introducing real life problems without making the readers have like existential dread.
Yeah.
But there were some things that I didn't like love in this book, which in the last one, I felt like for the most part, there weren't a ton of things I didn't like. There were a couple on this one.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I would rate it a 9.82 out of 10. So not quite a perfect 10 for similar reasons to you. But I did still love it. Obviously, that still rounds out to be like pretty perfect. But yeah, like just a couple things that weren't quite my favorite. And that's okay. But yeah, let's do a deep dive into these characters. They were very colorful, this book. But we'll start with Brianna, of course, because she's our main girl. And I really loved her. I thought, as far as, like, main characters go, I think it's not a competition, but if I had to rank her versus Alexis from the first book, I think I do prefer Brianna. Alexis obviously comes from a much more, like, sheltered background, and her problems were problems, but just compared to Brianna, like, Brianna was a lot more relatable, I think, to a lot more people. Things were just more, like, real in her life growing up.
Yes.
And I really loved her. One thing I just don't get about these women is, like, why Alexis and Brianna were ever even gunning for these jobs where they're working 80 hours a week. Like, why is that ever anyone's goal?
Well, I think for Brianna, and she even says this at one point, she's like, I don't even want this job. I just want something to, like, distract myself from my life. And I'm like, that's, I mean, I get that. But also, that sounds miserable.
It sounds so bad. And, like, same thing with Alexis. She was like, wait, I don't even want to do that, actually. And it's like, yeah, because it sounds like it sucks. Jesus. Yeah,
no one wants to. Like, being salaried at, like, 80 hours a week, that sounds...
nightmare.
I mean, first of all, yeah, it's nightmarish, and why I don't know why anyone would do that. Like, you'd think, like, Gibson would want to get the hell out of there and retire.
Exactly. Maybe he's also trying not to go home. I don't know.
I don't know. I was like, I think everyone just hates their spouses in these books.
Yeah, like what's going on in your life, Gibson?
None of these doctors love their wives.
That's pretty much how it sounds. Like, yeah, like Neil, and then Brianna was having issues with Nick.
Jessica hates her husband, and...
Oh my god, yeah. I just have one more thing to say about what makes Brianna so relatable is because she had, like, obviously Jacob's hot. Like, she explains that from the get-go. But she was so down bad for, like, any sliver of his skin that yeah. She could see, like, his collarbone, his forearms, his Adam's apple. I was like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, like, that's, like, the equivalent of, like, a Victorian man seeing, like, an ankle.
An ankle. Yes. Oh, she's so
good. She was so touch-starved by the end of this book.
Well, she was, like, romance-starved, you know?
Yeah,
attention-starved.
Like, the yearning in this book was definitely top tier. I love that. And, I mean, Abby really made us work for it. And another, I mean, that's just one thing I like about her books. They're not really, like, romance forward. It is definitely more about, like, the development of these characters in the storyline. And so by the time you actually get to them, like, being romantically involved, you're like, holy shit, like, thank you.
Yes.
Like, oh my god.
And that's just one thing I'll say this early, like, one thing I loved about this book is, like, it's so effective because by the time they're finally, like, having sex together, I was just like I had butterflies. I was just like, yes. And it brings back, like, that nostalgic feeling of, like, the late 90s to early 2000s rom-coms where it takes the whole movie for them to, like, kiss. It takes the whole movie for them to, like, get together or whatever. Yeah. Like, it brings back that formula that I feel like so many of us, like, miss in stories nowadays where it's just so much build-up and then a great payoff.
It was a true slow burn.
Yeah, and I feel like that... But the thing is, it's not because they were together for, like, a few months. But to us, like, our pace, but, like, their timeline-wise, it was very fast. But that's the same with, like, rom-com movies that were nostalgic for us. Like, those are all happening in, like, the span of 2 weeks. But as, like, the viewer, you're like, oh my god, would you just make out already?
Right. I feel like us as readers have gotten extremely spoiled in, like, the instant gratification type thing where authors are like, we're going to speed up this timeline a little bit and, like, start introducing romance way earlier and having it be, like, a little heavier than what I would say rom-coms probably used to be. And so it is refreshing.
It is refreshing.
Like, a true rom-com. And I bet that's why so many people have enjoyed it, because there's a lot of folks out there that just don't care much for, like, the super smutty, like, rom-com book. So this really offers a lot for everybody.
Yes, it's so good because, like, yes, obviously she still does write intimate scenes, but that is not, if that's what you're looking for, then, like, you're not going to find it here. But I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, the more romance forward aspects rather than, like, the intimacy forward aspects of a story.
Yeah.
It just, like, makes the inner, like, middle school girl in you, like, super giddy.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like you're watching, like, I don't know, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, or, like...
You're watching true love happen.
Yeah. How about Jacob? What do you think about him?
Okay, I love Jacob. So one thing about the main male characters in these books is that every time we're first introduced to them, I almost don't like them, and thankfully she saves it, like, within the same chapter, but, like, it happened with Daniel, too, to where I was just like, ugh, like, I just don't know if I like him. When we're first introduced to Jacob, we don't know anything about this man, and he's just like, yeah, another day in hell, and now I have to go meet my brother, and, like, all this stuff is happening, and his stupid girlfriend, and I was like, ew.
Yeah, like, okay. Why are you being such a dick?
Like, you're being really rude right now, very, like, pick me, woe is me type energy, and then you figure out why, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'd be pretty upset as well. But no, just the way she first introduces them every time, I'm like, God, this is going to be a long read. And then it never is.
She does a little switcheroo. She does a little miscommunication on the reader. And I kind of like it.
But yeah, then she immediately dives deeper into their character. And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, Abby. I should have trusted you a little bit more.
I should have trusted your judgment, queen.
Yeah. He is so cute, though. I loved him.
Yes, he is. I do think he, obviously, Abby, we've talked about this last episode, too. But she does such a good job portraying, like, mental illnesses in a very realistic and relatable way. Like, his social anxiety is crippling at times, and he has a really hard time expressing himself. He had to apologize to Brianna by writing a letter, and then it ended up being the best decision he could have made. But, like, I feel like that is so relatable to so many people. It is hard to, like, start a new job whenever you don't make friends easily and you don't deal well with new things, and then to have all of your patients dying on your first day.
I would have quit.
And all the nurses hate you because, like, you didn't approach things the way that they would have preferred because they're all extroverts. And, like, yeah, like, he is so strong for even making it as far as he did before Brianna intervened. And I just think he is so sweet, and he's so kind and emotionally intelligent, but, like, it was kind of hard sometimes to imagine, like, dealing with his, like, lack of communication skills. Like, as a grown woman, I kind of get some of Amy's frustrations when she was dating him.
Sure.
Now, I don't think that they belong together. I don't think that Amy went about things the right way either, because clearly she was not compromising. But, like, I kind of get why that would be difficult. Like, if your boyfriend, you know, your adults and your boyfriend can't, like, communicate well with you, that could be very frustrating.
Right. Which, yeah, I mean, we see that even with Brianna, too. Like, he's just not good at communicating. And part of that is because he does not know how. And I get it. Yeah. But 2.5 years is a long time to, like, stay with someone that you just don't vibe with.
Yes, they clearly needed to break up, and it's for the best. And it's great because Amy and Jeremiah are apparently very in love, even though, as the readers, we did not give a shit about their relationship until, like, everyone was cool at the end.
Like, the very end. No, I do think he was a very cool, developed character, and I liked seeing his growth throughout the book, too, and I loved the way he and Brianna, like, interacted together, like, how they always agreed to be, like, harmless to each other, and how
yes.
Brianna really wanted to, like, protect him, but he also wanted to protect her, but just in different ways. Like, just what they were able to provide each other was very pure.
I know, because she, like, she protected him in a way that fit her so well. Like, she's extroverted. She defends him out loud. You know, she stands up for him to people's faces, which is something he's unable to do, especially in the moment. And then on the flip side, he wants to take care of her, like, quietly. Like, he wants to feed her and be there for her emotionally and, like,
and share space with her.
So they're just, they're pure, and they're such a good match.
And he had so many cute little quirks, too. Like, I loved, like, his relationship with, like, his niece and nephew. Like, the socks that he would always pick out for them. And, like, the fact that at the very end, like, he gets to be, like, a stay-at-home dad. That's truly what he wanted. Like, he did not like working every day. I think the ER was starting to maybe grind on him a little bit. And so it was really just, like, the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah, he is just such a sweetie pie. And I love that. And they're just such a good match. I think she wrote two very opposite characters that complete each other in a way that's very satisfying to the reader. And then we have Benny.
Talk about Benny.
He was going through it.
Wow. He had a lot going on. Poor Benny. I really thought he was going to be a traumatic tool used in this book to further along this story somehow. I'm really glad that he didn't die. I really thought he was going to. So glad he made it out okay. I'm glad that he ended up getting his kidney and living his happy ever after.
Thank you, Abby, for not killing him off. I am also glad that he got his happy ending, but I just wish it was with someone who is not Jane. That was weird. That was weird that they got together.
It was just so unnecessary because, first of all, I didn't even remember who Jane was. He was like, yeah, Jane asked if I was single. I was like, who the fuck's Jane? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's one of his sisters. And he's like, yeah, I thought it was weird. And then he's like, but yeah, now we're going to the wedding together. And I'm like, okay, but why do we need to write that in? Benny's probably not going to get his own story, so...
I just could have done without that detail, for sure. Everything else was perfect about his, conclusion to the story. But, also, he was in a very vulnerable place, and I don't blame him for, being excited that someone was interested in him. Because sure. She kind of saw him at his, lowest, too. So I think that probably felt very nice.
And she was like, yeah, I'm into that.
Well, yeah, and that is interesting because I feel like we made it very clear that Benny was not looking healthy at all. So I'm just kind of like, that's also a little, should we unpack this?
Well, by the time she met him, he was doing better. He was working out and, eating and shaving.
I just would not see someone in that state and be like...
I need that in my life.
Yeah, I want to be with them. I would want to take care of them. I would want to be there for them, but,
Maybe she saw something that no one else did. And you know what? Good for her for seeing past his looks.
Good for her. Well, yes. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a hater, but I just thought it was such a weird dynamic.
I did too.
To just toss in there and then not look at closer. We were just like, oh, yay.
We're not going to elaborate that anymore. Whatever.
And yeah. And that's fine. Brianna's mom is so funny. And she obviously loves her children a lot. However, she needs to chill the fuck out.
I love her love, but that would send me into a spiral. Yeah. I could not handle that.
The pre-assembled frozen hot dogs. I would be like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Get the fuck out of my face.
Heat that up. Do you put it in the oven? I don't understand. Genuinely.
Yeah, that's going to be a soggy ass dog.
Yeah, why would you do that? Okay. Yeah, I would not. Kudos to Brianna and Benny for not exploding on her because they know that she's just trying to show them love. But and again, I know she's doing the best with the tools that she had, but I feel like there was room for her to grow as a mother.
Yeah, she traumatized her kids a little bit.
She sure did. And it's not completely her fault. Obviously no. She was going through it as well. But I just feel like there was room to grow.
Yeah, because, she is partly the reason Brianna is the way that she is, inadvertently. It was not on purpose, but I'm sure multiple times Brianna probably heard her be like, yeah, men ain't shit.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to steal your money and leave you pregnant and alone. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, literally.
Which is not wrong. You should definitely... make sure, your name is on the deed and, you have separate, forms of money and whatever, but...
Definitely take care of yourself. But, that was so crazy.
Hope she gets the growth that she needs as well with Gil. It sounds like she's in a better spot.
It does sound like they are in a better spot, but also, that dynamic is interesting. I hope it's healthy because they're like, well... Gil would never leave you. He, worships the ground you walk on. But I hope it's, in a healthy way and, a cute way.
Because it sounds like she actually takes care of Gil and, Gil wants that. And I'm like, Gil may be a man-child. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, obviously, we don't know the vibe, but, like, is it, like, a kink thing? Or, like, I don't know.
Like, what do you guys got going on?
You know what? Pop the fuck off.
It's none of my business.
Yeah, no, it's not. And live your truth, queen. So, next we'll switch gears and we'll talk about Jacob's family. I want to start with Jeremiah and Amy. Because what the fuck? I was so, like, ooh, I was ready to hate them. But then Jacob was like, no, like, they didn't do, like, they wanted to be together. Like, it's just how things should be. I don't want people to take my side in this. And I was like, no, I've been milking that for all it's worth. I'd be like, no, see, the family thinks that you guys are fucking assholes. Like, I would have been beating them up.
Well, yeah, like, what's a tasteful amount of time to wait for you to break up with your sibling, like, for a sibling to break up with somebody and then the other sibling to start dating them? Because I don't think it's 3 months.
Minimum year.
Yeah. Because it's like, at that point, I'm going to start questioning, like,
were you cheating?
Were you guys involved before?
Absolutely. And I feel like they were.
Which, again, they did know each other, too. It's not like they were perfect strangers. Like, they all worked together. So, like, I'm sure they did have some type of, like, relationship established prior to that. But, like, you were together 2.5 years. So you're telling me in those 2.5 years at no point where you're like, I might be with the wrong brother.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. No kidding. You know that's exactly what happened, though. And that's why whenever they, like, went to couples counseling, Jacob and Amy, like, she just walked out and she was like, no, never mind.
Yeah. And it worked out the way it was supposed to. Like, they're clearly very happy with each other. Me personally, though, like, I say I would never talk to my sibling again. But unfortunately, I did have a similar situation happen. However, not nearly as traumatic as this, because I was cool with it. But
it was slightly different because we were in high school and you didn't date him that long and you didn't like him that much.
We're also very young.
Yeah.
Not in a committed relationship, but it is always a little weird because you're like, huh, that's my sibling. Like, yeah, it worked out a little bit better for them.
They were a little more compatible.
But so I do want to talk about the rest of Jacob's family kind of together. Well, starting with Dr. Joy Maddox.
Sex spirit.
Because she was a joy. She was a treat. I loved her. I really feel like she and his father, first of all, what a healthy relationship I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
Wow. Love that for them. They're also just good parents. Like, they were ready to just defend their child. They're like, yeah, if you want us to hate this woman, we'll hate this woman.
And your brother.
I don't give a fuck. And you know what? That's the type of ride or die energy I'd be looking for in a family as well. Because I don't think they wanted to hate them. Like, clearly they didn't want to, like, disown him. But also, like, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, like,
and they all recognize that. They're a close family. How dare Jeremiah do that?
No, they're great.
They're great. And I love how nosy they were.
Like, Jewel just, like, showing up unexpectedly at Jacob's house all the time. Like, I need your bread maker or whatever.
I used your melon baller.
I
was just in the area. I like how every time they're like, oh, God, they're, like, making out again. And it's like, this is actually the first time this has ever happened. It's so crazy. Also, can you get the fuck out? Like, why do you keep showing up here?
Also, literally, his dick is, like, inserted whenever they got discovered. And I was like, I hate that. Anyways.
I like how she's like, oh, they're going at it again. I'm like, is he still inside of her?
He sure was, but they were fully clothed, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. Her dress was covering it.
Yeah.
I was mortified.
I was pretty mortified as well. Yeah, I love their family, especially Grandpa. I just, like, fucking love him. I love his energy. I love that he's a little brat, like,
yeah,
and he was lying about the fact that he didn't actually have cigarettes the whole time. I love him.
I really do. I hope he goes out smoking his Marlboro and, you know, running people down on his scooter. Like, that's all I want for him.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah, I feel like we've already pictured the perfect, like, visual for him, and it's George from Stardew Valley, just a grumpy old man in a wheelchair. But he's got a soft spot for Brianna by the end, so it is giving George, because you can break down his walls.
He loves all the women.
Yes, he does. And it was so funny because Brianna was like, I think I love him more than he loves me. And Grandpa was like, well, I thought he was a smart one. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, Grandpa, you're so wise.
And he's like, damn, here I was thinking that grandson was smart, but apparently he's not.
Bunch of fucking idiots, all these kids. Oh, Grandpa. I hope he lives for another 40 years. I did love the Alexis and Daniel cameo.
Same.
I thought that was just, I love a good callback to the first book in the series. Because, I mean, they're so cute, and they deserve the world, and it was just so pure that they're doing so well, and they're still in love, and they have baby now, and you got to experience the magic of walk-on again, and it's just great.
And I just also loved that we got to see Doug and Kevin Bacon once more as well.
I love their hatred for Doug. Just the disgust they have towards Doug and his guitar. I want that man to find love.
I hope by book three he's like happily settled down with some weird ass woman who just loves his freak. There's someone out there for him.
Yeah. He's so odd. I love him.
Same.
And you know what else I was really happy about too is that like Alexis, the theme of the book is like love shows up. And Alexis showed up for Bree every single time, and I was really worried about it because I thought she was going to be the friend that kind of, like, disappeared off the face of the earth, and she's living her new life now and doesn't have time for Bree, which Bree was afraid of, too. But Alexis showed up for her every single time.
And we kind of talked about that with book one, too, because we felt like Alexis wasn't really, like, being there for Bree whenever Alexis was going through her own shit, which maybe she just, like, didn't have the capacity. But, like, yes, she did show up in this book, and that was a relief. But there was, and this is just, like, not that big of a deal, but it did kind of piss me off, because at the very beginning, Bree called Alexis, and she was literally, like, making out with Daniel while on the phone, and was just, like, pretending to be, like, paying attention. And I was like, be so serious, girl.
No, that did piss me off. I had that written down at first, because I was like, is this how it's gonna be? And then she redeemed herself.
She did, yeah. And I think she wouldn't have done that if she knew that Bree was actually, like, in dire need of something.
Yeah, like having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, Alexis and Daniel, they're just little horn dogs. And I do love that for them, but also get a grip, you know.
People in this world are having true problems, and I need you guys to get over it. But those were the main characters, I would say, of this book. So as always, we'll go over some thoughts and concerns, starting with the things we liked, followed by some of the things we didn't really like about this book. Kicking it off, certain strong things we liked. I about lost my shit when they were going to meet Jacob's family for the first time, and he was like, pardon me one moment, and like put on gloves and grabbed a bag and went and grabbed a fucking raccoon carcass off the side of the road, because I'm like, that seems wildly out of character to do.
It was so funny, especially because it did not match his character at all. And me and Brianna both were like, is this man a fucking serial killer?
Yeah, no, because she like was out the window like, should I leave? What the fuck was that? And he's like, oh, my dad does taxidermy. Like, that explains all of it. Like, oh, okay, what a normal hobby to have. Like,
I love that.
My bad.
I love that so much.
But it did remind me of a story of our husband's aunt. They live out in the country. And she's a little prankster. their aunt. She found two possums on the side of the road that were in pristine condition, put them in her car, drove them to her neighbor's house, which is like down the road, like a mile down the road from where they live. Put them on her neighbor's front porch with their hands like crossed in front of each other and their heads like laying on their hands and like their feet crossed, so like it was like looking up at the door.
Oh,
when the neighbors like open the door. And like that's obviously taxidermy is a very professional job to have, but that is all I could think of.
Oh my god, I've never heard that story. That's hilarious. I can't believe she was like brave enough to do that.
Oh, really? I can believe that. She doesn't give a shit in this world.
She's fearless.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is not the same thing at all, but do you remember when our best friend's little brother put a dead squirrel on your windshield?
Kind of the same way, yeah. And yeah, I just don't do well with dead animals. And so that really grossed me the fuck out. And then like on top of that, where they have like a whole taxidermy room just full of like posed animals. I'm like this is so funny, but so gross.
Yeah, I wouldn't want taxidermy in my house, but I can appreciate it as an art form for sure. Another thing that we loved about this book is just the letters that they exchanged. It was a huge part of them developing their relationship. I loved that she was like, I've always wanted someone to, like, call me dearest. And in the next letter, he said, dearest Brianna. And then from there on out, he didn't stop. He just kept doing it. And she was like, it's so Mr. Darcy. And it is. And he has his little plant room and his little antique desk where he writes his letters on his fancy stationery.
Yeah, what a whimsical man.
And I was like, why doesn't my man do that?
I know, like.
Oh, I'm gonna go complain to Cole about this non-issue. Be like, why aren't you handwriting me letters with a fountain pen?
On fancy stationery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck?
I need you to step the fuck up.
But seriously, this book was actually so funny. It had me laughing out loud so many times. Like, besides the taxidermy, the cat's name is Cooter. Also, the dog's name is Lieutenant Dan, and he's missing a leg. Jafar, the parrot.
Love him.
Hilarious. Grandpa, we already said. The taxidermy room. And Bieber. The parrot kept saying Bieber because that's his parent's safe word. I was like, "Art, you've got to be fucking joking."
Like, how many times does he hear this?
Yes. And just the fact that they chose Bieber as their safe word in the first place is sending me. Which reminds me, have you seen the most recent, like, Justin Bieber meme?
No.
Oh, I mean, I hope he's doing well because he actually kind of looks like he's in a crisis. But he was talking to the paparazzi and he's like, it's just not clocking to you. It's funny. I'll send you one.
Okay.
Anyway, hope he's doing well.
He's probably not. Anyway.
Mental health matters.
I do. We already kind of mentioned this, but just being back in Walk-On for a little bit, I think it was very important that they got to experience that magic. Walk-On just has a way of pushing people together, and there's happened to be a door getting stuck.
That adds such a layer of originality, too, to the one bed trope. And I just loved also, like, breaking the fourth wall when Alexis is like, let me know when you get to the one bed trope. You know, like, it's just so funny. And it also turned into something really sweet, too, because what I really appreciated about that scene is, like, yes, it was the one bed trope, but they didn't have sex. Like, instead, they, like, bonded more. They got drunk together. And then she teleported to bed, which is what she really wanted.
I know.
She wanted to teleport. So it's just very sweet. And it led to, again, the yearning. Because good heavens, when they did finally have sex, I was like, this is the most, like, passionate, dramatic, like, intimate. Like, I had butterflies reading it. Like, it was so good.
Like, when she was like, I was straddling me, just pulled my underwear to the side. I was like, oh, hello? Like, I have read terrible, disgusting things, and for whatever reason, this was like, oh, I was like, oh my god!
I think it's so funny because, like, what it was for me, like, the way this hit so differently than, like, those books where it is super smutty right off the bat is, like, their connection is what had, like, it had me, like, giggling, kicking my feet because we wanted it so badly, and so for it to be like that passionate just was like, oh my god, like it was everything we wanted, you know what I mean?
It was amazing,
and that's why it had us clutching our pearls, even though it's like literally like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 7 as far as like filth goes. Like, yes, they were having like sex in his parents' house, which is kind of
a little cringy.
You know, that ups the kink factor a little.
Like after he had like a mental breakdown, like in front of his whole family.
Like, it hit more than any like smutty book where they're like getting freaky right off the bat, because it was just like, oh my god, the connection.
Like, yes, they were being very passionate, but also, like, they were just so pure. They were so pure. However, I do have one suggestion, and I know this isn't really Abby's style, and that's okay, but what would have just really made it for me, something that I love, is when you have, like, this very good dude, and, like, he is just sweet and kind and generous, but then has, like, the filthiest mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have really elevated this experience for me if, like, just out of nowhere that came from left field, like, oh.
That would have taken the religious experience that I had, and it would have, like, fully ascended me to the heavens.
I think I would have thrown my Kindle.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that would have been just the perfect addition. But yeah, it's just not really her style.
It's not. And I get it. That is just one. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, that would have been just, like, if someone else wants to write that book, someone who that is kind of their style, my God. Let us know. Drop the title.
Yeah. I eat that shit up.
But yeah, I have a couple quotes that just show, like, how their love is just, like, so sweet. And one of them is that Brianna said, "I wanted to crawl inside him and live there." And that one hit because I literally all the time am telling Cole that I want to crawl inside his ribcage and just like him carry me around like that for the day. Yeah. And also, this one was so, like, hurtful to me, like, in a good way. It hurt so good. Because she was, like, in crisis mode, you know, she obviously had a traumatic response and was, like, trying to end things between them. And he was like, "Come home and I'll take care of you."
I know.
Oh, dude, it hurt my feelings so bad for him. Like, he just wanted her back.
Because he didn't know what to do.
Yeah, he was like, I've tried everything. I've tried spilling my heart out to you, but you don't think I'm telling the truth. And which is why, like, him having her read that journal was so important, because he expresses himself in writing, and the fact that it was like a historical record of his feelings, like, mm-hmm. growing alongside hers, like, she couldn't deny the truth anymore when she read it.
Oh, he's such a pure man.
I know, I love him.
There are a couple things, like we said, that we just didn't care for much in this book. There's not a ton, but I do feel like they should be touched on. First thing is why we feel the need to keep including Jessica in these books. Jessica is a fucking hag. I don't think she should be given any type of attention. She's clearly the worst.
She's and so
mean. And it
just mean.
Seems very off-brand for Brianna to even, like, think of being friends with her.
The only thing I can think of is, like, I guess because Jessica was kind of used, like, if Jessica is saying that Jacob's a good guy, then, like, that's, like, unheard of for her to say that about a man. So I guess, like, that was the point of like, if Jessica's vouching for this man, like, there's no way. He's not an angel.
He must be a saint.
So, like, I guess that is the reason. But, yeah, I could have done without her, honestly.
She's the worst. And also, like, I hated the whole Levi storyline. And I felt like it was really shitty of Hector to be like, "Hey, your girlfriend's giving a strange man her phone number. Like, you should go put a stop to that." And I know it was to continue the story, and, like, it played a role in it. But, like, it pissed me off because I'm like, Hector, what are you, like, how about you ask? Like, how about you just maybe ask questions?
Yes, because Hector and Brianna are, like, friends. So why would you not just be like, "Who is that?" Like, if Hector had just asked Brie, like, kind of pulled her aside and be like, "Who is that?" Like, she would be like, "Oh, it's my friend, like, I grew up with," like, you know? Like, she would have told him.
Ah, I don't know. I felt betrayed.
I did too. I felt like that was really rude. And again, we don't like that because we don't like miscommunication. And this book had that because that was the major plot device. I do see why it happened because, again, like, these people were falling in love very quickly. I think neither one of them felt, like, sane admitting to the other that, like, hey, I'm actually kind of, like,
in love
with you. When it's been months and, like, everything else in my life has been falling apart, but, like, I'm in love. Like, neither of them wanted to admit that, and I get that.
Well, and, like,
you look kind of psycho for that.
They were also right to assume, like, just because I'm in love doesn't mean this other person is, and, like, we made it very clear, like, this was an act.
True.
And so I get it, but just, like, as the reader, I was like, I'm gonna start hitting my head against the wall here in a second if we don't just sit down and talk to each other.
Oh, for sure.
I also thought it was absolutely foul the way she treated Jacob after seeing Nick and what's-her-face in the elevator.
Yes. Like, pull your shit together.
First of all, like, you have just spent the greatest night together. You've been living with each other for, like, a month at this point. Things are going so well. And then you see that, and sure, it was probably very triggering, especially everything that had happened. Don't talk to him like that, though. Like, he did not deserve that. Like, she freaked out on him and, like, made it seem like that whole month was nothing.
No, I agree. That was fucked up. Her, like, her responses and whenever she was triggered were just not cool. Like,
they were so mean.
Leave Jacob alone. Like, he's been nothing but good to you.
Well, and he doesn't know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like, talk to him. Literally talk to him. Another thing is, like, so we're also not a big fan of accidental pregnancy tropes. Like, I thought it was annoying and funny whenever Brianna's mom pointed out, like, you're literally both physicians. Like, how did this happen? Because I was thinking the same
thing. Like, yeah, no, literally.
I didn't like this for a couple reasons. Like, one, because I kind of felt like the vibe I had been getting was that she wasn't interested in being a mother.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I loved that it was kind of thrust upon her for the sake of, like, moving the plot forward. I do feel like that explains why she was so triggered when it happened. But, like, for her to be just, like, reacting so explosively like that at her grown age, it was just kind of, like, irritating to me.
Yeah.
Because same thing as her seeing Nick in the elevator with Kelly, like, for you to be just reacting so explosively kind of, like, gives me the ick.
It's gross. Well, and, yeah, just for him to be like, I just want you to explain what you're feeling. And she's like, no, all men are the same. You all are shit, and you're all terrible, and you're gonna, like, fuck me over and blah. And he was like, when did I ever do that? And she's like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, she's like, not yet. Like,
that's a little unfair.
No, it's so unfair, and I feel awful for Jacob that she put him through that. And, like, I understand that obviously she's traumatized. Like, I get it. I do. But, like, learn to cope, because this is just not, literally, it's not that hard.
I'm glad she did. Like, at the end, they did couples counseling and, like, individual counseling, and that was fantastic, and I'm so glad they did that. But, like, I don't know. It really hurt my feelings on his behalf.
Yes, because she was being so toxic and so hurtful. And he saw it as, like, for no reason. And then what also made me really sad was, like, when she did finally tell him that she was pregnant, like, he was immediately, like, so happy. And she was like, no, but, like, we're still broken up. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, but he was, like, so ready to support her from the sidelines, too. Like, he looked at pregnancy pillows, and he was looking up, like, prenatal stuff and, like, everything that he could get her. And he was like, it's okay if you don't want me. Like, I'm still going to make sure you're taken care of.
I'm still going to take care of you. God, come home and let me take care of you.
I was like, this man just wants his family.
God, that hurt when it was happening, but I'm glad they're together now.
It hurt so bad. I was like, God, you're a bitch.
I know, I was so mad at her.
I'm also really glad that we did abandon the, like, whole Gibson storyline. I felt like at some point she's just like, I actually don't even want to do that. And then it became a non-issue the rest of the book, which is great. okay, because I thought it was so fucking stupid to begin with, and,
yeah,
like, for Gibson to be like, well, Alexis didn't have a one-up in this, like, she ran against other people, it's like, let's be so fucking for real, her family, like, owns this hospital, like, she didn't go uncontested, like...
Yeah, like, she had it by default. No, I agree, that was annoying, and I'm glad that we... Like, the miscommunication on that was resolved almost immediately. But then, like, we had more miscommunication, and I was just, like, exhausted.
I don't think I could have handled that, like, on top of it. If you were like, yeah, I'm gunning for that position, I'd be like, ugh.
Okay. I know. Yeah. No, really. So, obviously, there are some more things that we didn't like than, say, with, like, the first book. But it mostly just has to do with, like, tropes and micro tropes. And that's just our personal preference, and it always has been.
Yeah.
But still, fantastic book, amazing author. Can't wait to read the third one.
Yeah, you can go ahead and join us immediately as we discuss The Flesh of the Sea by Laura Gislason and Shelley Levine, because we're doing a little back-to-back drop this week, because that is just who we are as people.
Yeah, we were a little behind schedule, but you know what?
It's okay.
Just stick with us, and we'll get those episodes out eventually. But join us next week as we discuss the third and final book by Abby Jimenez, Just for the Summer. And the week after that, we'll be discussing another one of those little horror romance novellas, Entity, by Meg Smitherman.
We love you, Meg.
Some little treats in store. We love you, Meg. Yeah, so go ahead and get started on those books if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next time. And as always,
let's get lit.